This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Tazali masuk sini 2019. Saya tak tahu siapa yang telah tinggalkan. Dia ditinggalkan di sini, di atas kursi roda kita. Letak atas kursi roda kita, dia tinggal lari cabut. Saya memang sangat marah. Air liur dia yang meleleh, kencing, dia tak terkawal. Jadi, ahli keluarga memang rasa saya tak nak bela. Memang masa tu tak ada siapa pun nampak. Dia tinggal je macam tu. Sebenarnya, ahli keluarga dia memang nak buang. Memang ada kes-kes yang begini. Maybe about 10%. Kalau mati tanpa IC, saya akan ada banyak besar sangat masalah saya. Ha, orang letak bapak dia dekat atas, pakcik tu mati tanpa ada dokumen pengenalan diri, tak boleh ditanam di sini. Tapi kalau dihantar secara proper kan, jumpa kami, itu kan lebih bagus daripada letak dan tinggalkan terus.
Good afternoon, this is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs, reflecting the breakdown of traditional family values in modern Malaysian society that marginalizes the elderly. The film Maniti Senja explores the alarming rise in the elderly being left to fend for themselves in aged care centers, removed from the comfort of homes they knew and children they raised. So today on another episode of Stay Home and Watch, which is a series done in collaboration with the Freedom Film Network, we're going to revisit this 2020 film by first-time filmmaker Lily Fu. She's also the founder of Seniors Aloud. She's a gerontologist. She's the vice president of the University of Third Age. She joins me now to share more about the themes explored in the film and how she hopes it will push for policies to protect the elderly in Malaysia. Welcome, Lily. How are you today?
Great. Feeling great as always.
Always a pleasure to have you on the show, Lily. You're always such an inspiration and I know you're going to inspire a lot more people today again. Just for folks who, I mean, you've been on the show many, many times, but just for those who might not be familiar, maybe you can remind us a little bit about the work that you do. So, as I mentioned, you're the founder of, you started Seniors Aloud, but I know that, you know, I think it was back in 2010 or if I'm, my apologies if I got the year wrong, but you went back to school. You went back to pursue your interests. You started with many courses at the University of Third Age. Now you're the vice president. Can you just remind us about that?
My whole life, I've always been an educationalist firm, from starting with just a teacher to university tutor. And of course, now the vice president of University of the Third Age, which promotes lifelong learning for older people. Because we believe very strongly, you shouldn't let your mind, your brain be idle, you know, as you age. Keep going, not just physically healthy, but also mentally healthy as well. So that's why we are always promoting. The message out there is have an active, healthy lifestyle when you are in your retirement. Mm-hmm. Yes, that way you can really live long in good health and good cheer as well. Yes, that's the message always. Mm-hmm. But going back to why I went back to university, mm-hmm. ever since I retired and I became a senior citizen myself, I discovered there are lots of things that, you know, are just not kind of like age-friendly in our country. Whether you're talking about transport or housing or even at home, the home design is not designed for safety for the elderly. So there are lots of things there. But the problem with Asian culture or Asians, right? If someone were to come and give advice, they will wonder, who are you to give advice? Mm-hmm. Do you practice it? What's your experience or background before they actually take you seriously? So I was thinking, okay, let me go back to studying. Mm-hmm. Let me just make myself, you know, like walk the talk kind of thing.
True.
If I can do it, so can everyone else, right?
Yeah.
So at the age of ripe old age of 70, I graduated, right, with a master's of science in applied gerontology from Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And with that, I discovered a whole new audience in the sense that, okay, people are paying a little bit more attention to me mm-hmm. when I see things. And even the media, you know, do come to me to ask me for feedback or opinion, my views on certain aging issues.
Sure.
So I think that's great. But the main thing for me is that just to let people know that if you really want to pursue your dream of going back to study, now that you have a bit more time and maybe a bit more money, why not? Go for it. You can do it. Yeah. So that's my message for learning, you know, mm-hmm. lifelong learning.
And living proof right there, you. And then and you've taken all that knowledge. It's not something that you did and then, you know, didn't do anything with it. You've been so actively, delving into all of this, you know, helping seniors. You started, as I mentioned, Seniors Aloud as well along the way. Can you remind our listeners what Seniors Aloud is all about?
Yeah, as I said earlier, when I became a senior myself, when I retired at the, I think December 2004, first year, of course, you know, kind of enjoy life, right? Because, well, no need to get up so early in the morning, you know, the time is your time, you can plan. But then, again, I think I'm speaking for many of seniors as well. After a certain period of time, you find that, hey, you wake up in the morning, there must be something to wake up to, So you need to have some purpose, some passion, some meaning that makes your life, you know, worth, you know, living. Yeah. So, and that's where I discovered all these issues about aging that nobody really seriously taking the senior population seriously. Yeah. Even though worldwide, in other countries, there was already, in Singapore especially, and in Japan, the government was already doing something, knowing that, you know, the near future, the population is going to age. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about small numbers, you know. So even Malaysia, finally, I'm so happy. You know, it pays off, you know, when you persevere and you push on, the government will listen. Yeah, slowly, It's baby steps at the moment. But still, you know, we're grateful for anything that's positive that moves towards, you know, taking care of our aging population. So that is a plus. And then one day, you know, I mean, people kind of know that I'm into this field. Mm. And that's how Freedom Film Network, right, got in touch with me in 2020.
Okay.
The theme for that year was actually the human rights, right? And said, get hold of Lily, find out whether she's interested or not, because she's always talking about the rights of the elderly. And of course, at that time, I knew nothing, zero knowledge of filmmaking. Yeah? Mm-hmm. But I was always very interested in, you know, films. I'm a film buffer.
Okay.
So they contacted me and they said, try, go for it. Okay, I said, I'll give it a go. And I sent in my pitch, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, among the shortlisted, went in front of a panel of jury for the final selection. And so delighted when after that, session, they told me that, I'm one of three grand winners for that year. And that's how it all started.
Amazing.
Yes, allowed at the film. Yeah.
And at the age of 72, am I correct? You were
72. Oh, 72.
First-time filmmaker.
First time. But of course, I have to thank FFN, right? Mm-hmm. Because they gave me a lot of technical help. Mm-hmm. Besides giving me a workshop, right? The workshop for the grand winners, they also helped, you know, recommend the crew, technical crew for me, mm-hmm. to back me up. So very, very thankful to FFN.
And it's a beautifully made film, you know, it's so moving. Of course, the name is Maniti Sinja, or The Twilight Years. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, it explores the alarming rise of cases of the elderly being left to fend for themselves, right? But I understand that, you know, that wasn't actually your first... the first angle that you wanted for the film. I think the pandemic played a role in sort of making you have to change your angle and the direction that the film took. Am I correct?
Yeah, it, to a certain extent. Because my original script, I focused on two aged care centres.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. One in, I think that one, people might know about this one. It's actually in the old Airport Road area. It's called Tong Sim. Tong Sim aged care funeral. It's just like a funeral parlor, you know.
Oh.
But thanks to Mr. Chong, who owns the place, right? He provides funeral services to the elderly who maybe, you know, can't afford to, you know, have a proper burial.
Sure.
So he gave the whole entire upstairs, the first floor, to abandoned elderly. Majority are abandoned. Some are just temporary staying there. And when I first went there several years ago, I kind of was shocked. It's the first time I came face to face with abandoned, homeless elderly. And it kept me wondering, I mean, nobody's alone. I mean, everybody's got siblings or children or parents or somebody. What's the story behind all these abandoned elderly?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, slowly I got to talk to them, listen to their stories, and I realized that there are many, many circumstances that kind of drove them to end up there.
Mm-hmm.
But I always tell children, no matter what bribes or, you know, complaints you have about poor parenting when you were kids. Don't take it out on your parents when they're elderly. That is not the way to go, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. I mean, filial piety is such a, it's a vanishing, disappearing value. I wouldn't say totally, it's just undergone different definitions.
Okay.
In keeping with the times. It's not that they are no longer filial, you know, mm-hmm. but because of certain circumstances, lifestyle changes and everything. But in the end, it is still the same message. Take care of your elderly parents. And because many are not doing so, my message to all seniors out there listening in and not even listening in, the message is that be responsible for yourself. Do not take for granted the government will take care of you in your old age or that your children, you can depend on them. You can never, never tell. So be responsible. Start early to take care of basically two main things. Mm. Health.
Yeah.
Finances. Make sure you got enough savings. Mm-hmm. Right? These are the two. And the third one, I just add on a third one. Make sure you've got friends.
Yes.
Because so friends important. Are there to support you, even if you are, don't have children, not married, right? Or don't have any family, you know, backing.
Yeah.
Friends. These three pillars.
Okay. And these are the three pillars that, you know, you do discuss in the film. Let's just go for a quick break, Lily. When we come back, let's talk about, you know, all the different issues that you bring up in the film. I'm speaking today to Lily Fu. She's a gerontologist. She's the vice president of the University of the Third Age. She's the founder of Seniors Aloud and a first-time film director at the age of 72. Her film, Manithi Sanja, was released in 2020. We'll have more after this quick break. You're listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Mereka dah tak ada apa-apa pun untuk difikirkan. Kalau ada pun mungkin mereka fikirkan bilalah anak dia nak datang atau saudara atau adik-beradik dia nak datang ziarah dia. Jadi mungkin kadang-kadang ambil masa kadang lama tak datang, mereka akan rasa bermuram durja lah kan. Makcik Majlis duduk dengan saya dah 4 tahun. Lama juga diam tak diam Makcik Majlis. Saya pergi rumah Makcik Majlis dekat Jalan Kebun. Saya datang Makcik Majlis masa tu koma. Makcik Majlis ni Cina lah, anak angkat Melayu bela. So dia ada harta. Tapi harta dia telah diwakafkan dah kepada unit wakaf. Rumah dia diorang sewakan tapi dia tak dapat satu sen pun duit untuk dia, penghidupan dia lah. Maksud saya macam tu. Jadi kalau nak wakafkan harta anda semua, anda akan kena wasiatkan apabila anda telah meninggal dunia. Baru harta tu boleh jadi wakaf. Selagi dia hidup, dia masih perlu untuk penghidupan dia sendirilah. Jadi duit tu sepatutnya disalurkan kepada dia.
Welcome back. This is Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is the lovely Lily Fu. She's a gerontologist. She's the vice president of the University of the Third Age, founder of Seniors Aloud, and she's the director of the film Manithi Sanja, which looks at Malaysia's aging population and also explores the alarming rise in the elderly being left to fend for themselves in aged care centres. So let's talk about the film now, Lily. So in the film, we will meet Puan Muji Sulaiman, am I correct? And she's a retired nurse who now runs a home for older persons. Tell me a little bit about her. Tell me a little bit about her story and how she actually had to, or, you know, somehow started this home in the first place.
Right. It just so happened that yesterday I paid a visit to the home mm-hmm. and was able to get some update from Puan Muji. Mm-hmm. And so everything is going fine. Of course, during COVID, as with everybody else, right, there was kind of cases at the home.
Okay.
But thankfully, everybody got through it. Okay.
Good fine, to hear.
including Puan Muji. And it was a delight for me to meet some of the elderly there who were featured in the film. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to say that some of them who were featured in the film are no longer there because their family members have come to take them home.
Oh,
so that
lovely.
Is great. Yeah. Yes, great news for me and for the rest as well. So regarding the home, Puan Muji told me that she's starting another home.
Okay.
Yeah, a bigger one, mainly for dementia elderly. Mm-hmm. So that's good news. At the moment, we have a lot of private nursing homes and aged care centres, but it's all mixed. It's not solely for dementia, what we say PWD, you know, persons with dementia. Right. So I think it is good to have one that's just focusing, because it's easier to manage if we just focus on dementia alone. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to hear that. She started it because when she's retired nurse from nursing, right?
Yeah.
When she retired, she found that there was really no Muslim, no aged care center for Muslims. When she told me about that, I was really surprised.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the majority race is, Muslim, and yet, with Malays, and yet there are none. So she started her own. And I find, well, through my visits while doing shooting, I can really say she's our Florence Nightingale, our Malaysia's Florence Nightingale. Such a woman with a big heart, accepting, you know, anyone who's abandoned, and not all of them are abandoned. There are also cases where the elderly are sent there temporarily because their family might be away or something, and they do not want the elderly parent to be alone in the house. Okay. So it's for a temporary period of time only. Mm-hmm. Yes, but there are also abandoned ones there. And their stories are very, very sad. Some are abandoned, just left. There was a case she told us about an elderly being left in the outside the door, at the gate, and then just alone. And whoever dumb, I would say the word dumb, she used the word dumb, left him there, just left. So we do not know what the background, she did not know what the background is. So it was really difficult. She has cases like that as well.
And something interesting she brought up in the film is like, because you don't know, there's no identification, no IC and things like that, right? So when the poor person eventually passes away, like she won't be able to sort out the burial and things like that, right? Because she doesn't have the documentation.
Yes.
Yeah. And and I was just going to say that, you know, she didn't, the only thing she doesn't mind taking in, she's happy to take them in. She just said, don't dump them like that without talking to me first, right? That was her bone of contention, I suppose.
Yeah, and she also kind of advised the elderly about wakaf.
Yes.
So don't sign away, right? Don't sign away your property and all that. Because, you know, you wait until you have a clause that says, right, only when, you know, when you're still living there, I mean, you're still collecting rent, it still belongs to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because, well, the story, you saw the movie, she, Huan Muji explained, that, you know, sometimes even for us seniors, we have to be very careful what we write in our will. Yes.
Yes.
And remain in your house, have possession of your property until you're no longer there. Only then, whoever you will it to can take over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Otherwise, there's a case where you might be chased out of your own house.
Which you show in the film, isn't it? There are some residents of the home whose children had, abused them, who had sold off their property and left them to fend for themselves.
There are many cases. It's not only in Huan Muji's home, a few. Mm-hmm. It's all over the country. There are stories like that. It's getting very common. So that's a huge concern for us working in this aging field.
Yeah.
We have to get the message out there.
Okay. So number one, have a will, because I think a lot of us are very irresponsible, even get the will done. And then make sure that all these clauses are in there, that you are properly looked after until you go. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Very important.
Very important. And that comes out through the film. I mean, for anyone who hasn't watched it, you know, do catch it. You will see that some really heartbreaking stories, you know, these really elderly folks, you know, some of them are disabled already, cannot walk and things like that. And they share some very sad stories about how their children just left them, took their money. One lady was abused by her daughter and just sort of left to fend for herself. She still said it with a smile. She still misses her children, but you know, these are the harsh realities. Now these are the things that can happen. Okay.
Yeah. And the message that Huan Muji wants to give, right, is that she understands the circumstances that maybe drive, you know, some family to leave their parents there. Like I said, some are there temporarily only.
That's right.
But some are for long stay indefinite because they're really abandoned. But the message going out from Huan Muji is that she understands all these circumstances and the cases, right? And she accepts all of them. But please remember to visit, right? If your children leaving your parents there for a short period or even a longer period, remember to visit them.
Mm.
Because they do feel lonely. They do miss home.
Yeah. I mean, she tries her best, you know, she organizes dance and movement activities, but pretty much most of the day they're just sitting there on their beds and with nobody to talk to except each other, I suppose, which is also a good thing.
In fact, tomorrow she said, "Hey, Lily, come over. Tomorrow we're having our Raya celebration." Yesterday when I was over, they were having, you know, the usual physio, but the physio period is very, very fun. There was a lot of singing, you know, and dance. Oh, because they can't dance, but they're moving around, moving their hands and a bit of the feet and all. So it's just fun watching them.
And they have their karaoke sessions as well, right, in the film you showed.
Oh, yeah, they love singing. They love to sing so much.
Okay. And in the film, of course, you the different stories of some of the different residents are told, right? Maybe you want to share any of the stories with our listeners about maybe one or two stories from the residents who live there, anything at all?
Yes, I met, you know, the poster that we had, these two lovely Malay women, aunties, you know, so affectionate to each other. So I spoke to one of them. She speaks English and she very proudly shows me her phone to say, "Hey, I have a smartphone." But of course, she doesn't know how to use it. Right? But it's a nice conversation and they're very lively. Mm. That's what I like about the place. There is something in that place which I tend to believe. I've been to visit a lot of aged care homes, you know, and I find that the better ones where, you know, the elderly are very well looked after and they seem happy as well, are those with a bit of a spiritual or religious background.
Okay.
For example, I always say that the gold standard for me, frankly, for me personally, is Little Sisters of the Poor.
Okay.
That has got a kind of a Catholic, Christian background.
Yes.
Because, you know, the staff there, they serve the elderly for God. Mm. You know, it's not for profit, it's not for money. So, and another one is a Suji Foundation, right? When they look after the elderly, they look after because of the Buddhist kind of a background. And here we are at Puan Muji's Puchong Center. It's actually sited at an abandoned mosque. So in a sense, the ground, the land is sacred in that sense. So, you know, it's good. Because I feel that, you know, when people, when the staff is so important, I always advise, you know, when you look for a nursing home or aged care center for any elderly person, do check it out personally. And the first thing you look for, not the frills. We do not care about whether your home has got a fountain, you know, with koi fish swimming around. That's not important. Go and look at the staff, the care. The care is what you want. You want to make sure that your elderly relative family member is well taken care of. And not, you know, the staff should be caring in a sense that they are hugging you, touching you, asking about you, know your name personally, greet you whenever they come for their shift and so forth, right? That is very, very important. Look
personal
for that.
Touch, yeah.
Yes, personal touch.
Okay.
All right. Asians are very, we are not openly demonstrative. We can show love in many other ways. But the elderly do, they need touch. Yesterday when I was at the home, I just walked past and they grabbed me, they held my hand and everything. They just want to be touched and hugged.
Yeah. It's so important having that human
touch.
Yeah,
they miss that. They miss that very, very much, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you explore all these different things. And I mean, the film starts off with the statement, you know, by 2030, Malaysia's aging population will rise to 15%. And you ask the question, you know, as a nation, is this country actually prepared to face this scenario, right? What do you think? Are we prepared?
Okay. Maybe I would say no, but I will qualify it. We are, as I said earlier, the government is making some preparations, some headway, but it's very slow. So what happened is that I used my film as a vehicle because after the screening, we have a panel discussion.
Yes.
And each time we have a panel discussion, it's on a different topic. So that allows us to invite experts, specialists to be panelists to give us some background on what's happening.
Yeah.
So, for example, we cover topics like elder abuse, also financial security, also filial piety, and also among the young ones, how are you looking at your own old age? This is to raise awareness among the young people. So we are targeting not only the older people to come for our screening. We also want the younger ones. And the middle group would be those in their 40s. Because they are the ones, the sandwich generation.
That's right.
They have to look after elderly parents as well as their own children. So are they prepared financially to support right? So there's a lot, but it is good that we have this film, because to me, visual impact is instant. Right? You get the message instantly when you watch it, and it kind of reaches you emotionally as well. Like what happened to me when I watch it at the big on the big screen. Mm-hmm. It is very, very effective, mm-hmm. visual. Mm-hmm. And I understand FMN is having another round of grants, right? Offered to, yeah. And I would strongly encourage the young and the older ones like me, you know, if you have a message, if you have a dream out there to get your message out, whatever message it is, right? Please go for it, try for it. Like I said, the same thing. If I can do it, greenhorn like me can do it, you can do it. You stand a chance as well, to get your message out there.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, the film was screened many, many times. And what were the sort of reactions? You know, were people surprised about the situation? Have you seen any sort of positive or tangible outcomes since the film was released?
Yes. First of all, personally, I get a lot more invitations to give talks, you know, at conferences and so forth, which is good because I get the message out to a broader audience. Mm-hmm. I reach out further. Mm-hmm. Yes. And of course, the media as well. They would contact me for opinion and feedback.
Sure.
And besides that, I'm also happy to report that Seniors Aloud, as well as U3A, are founding members of the Malaysian Coalition on Aging. Yes. Okay. It was launched this year in January, I think. Yeah, January. Okay. And it gives us a much stronger voice because there are nine of us, nine NGOs and CSO coming together to work on various, to advocate on various issues pertaining to the elderly. Mm. And among them, like I've always mentioned it, and the coalition also says it again, that we need an inter-ministerial coalition of various ministries, because aging does not only concern Jabatan Masyarakat, the JKM, the Ministry of Women, you know, and Community. It concerns other ministries as well. For example, we are trying to battle ageism. Ageism, you know, against older people having jobs or continuing with their work because they need income to support themselves.
Yeah.
So they should raise the retirement age, which the government is doing, you know, and we are grateful for that. But still more can be done. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one, ageism. And we're also taking up the cause for housing, for example. I mentioned earlier, design for housing, transport. I tell you, if you're in a wheelchair, public transport is a challenge for you.
Near impossible, actually.
Yeah. But of course, you know, I've been taking up this. I don't drive anymore. I have not driven for 20 years, right?
Okay.
So I'm regularly on the streets, and I'm closer to the ground, and I can therefore see what's happening on the ground that, you know, can do with a little bit more elder-friendly features.
For sure.
For example, you know, I did a recent one, and I'm hoping the media will take it up because it's important. The bus stops. Mm. You can be at bus stops and you're totally clueless about which bus goes where.
Correct.
Unless you're a regular, then you learn. Yeah? I found myself one day at the bus stop in Old Klang Road, which is not my regular route. Okay. And I sat there and I said, goodness me, I see buses passing by. I do not know where they go. Of course, you can look at the bus and it tells you your final destination. But I'm not going to the final destination. I want to go to somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
Does the bus go there? I want to know. So I asked somebody sitting nearby. She said she doesn't know either. She's just going to the final destination. You know, things like that. So I've been doing this for years, complaining for years. Finally, I think recently you might have noticed it too. At the bus stops, they now have what we call QR codes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Finally, they have one there and you just scan, you know, and you get to see the whole route. But then again, I complain. It's not perfect, but it's a good start. Yeah. Not many elderly have got smartphone.
Yep.
Even if they have, many have not downloaded the app. Mm. Right? So there are other things to consider. So there's more that needs to be done as well. But it's a beginning. It's not too bad. There are lots more. I mean, I complain a lot because I'm closer to the ground, right? Taking even buses, we can't climb up the first step, you know, got so heavy, so high the step.
Correct.
We struggle with groceries. But that's one thing. Huh? Mm. So again, aged care also, they need help. Because many of the aged care centres are not licensed. And government will want to know why. It's better to have them licensed, but why are they not getting licensed? Find out. It's because you impose too many restrictions, too many things on them. So they find it very difficult. It's a challenge. Mm. And we have age code to handle that. So the 9 founding members, each one of us, you know, take care of something. So it's easier, right? Okay. But it's a one stop where you can find out more information and, you know, contact us to share with us what would you see, you would like to see improve in all these areas. Okay. Whether it is with lifelong learning, maybe you can have it all over Malaysia, nationwide, instead of just based in the Klang Valley, so that it be, you know, you can reach out to more people elsewhere, things like that.
Yeah. So you're dividing and conquering. And,
yes.
Yeah, and I think very importantly to point out, it's not just a senior citizens issue. I mean, people like me in our 40s, we are going to face those, you know, those things as well. We need to take an interest. We also need to help advocate for these changes to be made. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah, I like the word advocate. For a long, long time, people have been calling me an activist. I was in my younger days. But I find that somehow moving from being an activist to an advocate gives you better results, you know. Okay. That's personal, right? That's personal. That's how I feel about
it. Okay. I mean, but yeah, we really, it needs to be an all of society approach because it affects all of society as well.
Yes. And that's why the coalition, we came up with a coalition.
Uh-huh. What is the name of the coalition, please?
Well, it's just MCOA for short. Okay. It stands for Malaysian Coalition on Aging.
Malaysian Coalition.
And you can check us out, Google us. We have our own website as well with lots of information and contact with the other 9 founding members.
Okay, excellent. So if anyone's listening and maybe they would like to contribute or they'd like to help, just get in touch with you guys, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Lily, for joining me today. Before I let you go, any last message that you'd like to leave us with? You've left us with many, many messages, but yeah, any final message you want to leave for why we should actually take these issues seriously?
Okay. So I'll be personal here. Personal meaning, of course, they are more than one message, right?
Of course.
One for the government, for example. Yeah. And one for the senior citizens themselves. Oh, well, any age group. Right?
Yeah.
Any age group, even the younger ones. So my message, I repeat again and again and again, be responsible for your health, your finances, and anything that will help you enjoy your golden years. Because they can be really golden if you prepare for it well at any age. Never too early, never too late.
Thank you so much, Lily, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Lily Fu. She's a gerontologist. She's a vice president of the University of the Third Age. She's the founder of Seniors Aloud, and she's the director of the film Maniti Senja. The film is available on the Freedom Film Network's YouTube channel if you'd like to catch it, and I highly recommend you do. If you'd like to get in touch with Lily, I guess just search for Seniors Aloud. You guys have a website. There's also the Malaysian Coalition on Aging, and you guys are on social media as well, I'm guessing, yeah?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. And just get in touch with Lily. She's, you know, I think open to any sort of collaboration, aren't you, Lily?
Yes. Okay. Yes, definitely.
Yeah. All right. And if you miss any part of our conversation today, you can always download the podcast at bfm.my/learn, or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Pakcik, ada rindukan anak tak?
Anak pun tak mari juga.
Rindu dia tak, cik?
Rindu, tapi kan dia mah susah, orang susah.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.